The Presbyterian Church, Northern Ireland's largest Protestant denomination, has elected a new moderator. The Reverend Ian McNee will take up office in June, but already he's been making the news with his comments on Good Morning Ulster today when asked about his attitude to a woman one day being elected as his church's leader.
Those who are not all that in favour, if you want to put it like that, of women's ordination don't hold that position from a point of view of personal preference, but they hold that position from the point of view of they believe that as they interpret the scriptures, that the leadership role within the church is not necessarily like the leadership role within society, that men and women complement each other, and consequently, possibly that's why many people have taken the view that they take, and that's why the church has not embraced the election of a woman moderator.
Do you share that view personally?
I would have a conviction that, like many other people within all major denominations, that there are some concerns about that issue, and yes, I would share that conviction as well.
But how does that square with your statement where you say that you believe we should not cling to the traditions of the past but seek to be relevant to today?
Well, as far as I would be concerned, the Word of God as we have it in the Scriptures is, as our church would want to put it, the only infallible rule of faith and practice and supreme standard of the church. And as far as I would be concerned, we need to be able to move forward as a church in so many different ways, but we don't need to necessarily set aside what society wants us at times to set aside.
That's the Reverend Ian McNee speaking to Karen Patterson on Good Morning Ulster this morning. What do you think of what he said? This is the moderator designate of the largest Protestant church in Northern Ireland, saying that he essentially agrees with those who are opposed to the ordination of women to the ministry and also to take the big job in the Presbyterian Church as moderator. We now have a Church of Ireland bishop who's a woman. We have a Church of England bishop who's a woman. We've even had female archbishops across the world. We've had a prime minister in Britain who's a woman. We've had MLAs and still do who are women. Society has moved on these issues, you might think. It is the 21st century. Do you agree with the Presbyterian moderator, or do you think one day the Presbyterian Church will join the club and elect a female leader? The Reverend Cheryl Maben is the Presbyterian chaplain at the, I nearly said the University of Ulster, didn't I? Ulster University. She's in the Talkback studio with me. In Ballymena, Richard Murray, the Reverend Richard Murray, who's Minister of Connor Presbyterian Church, and also here in the studio, the Sunday World journalist extraordinaire, Roisin Gorman. Welcome to all of you. Richard, you agree with the moderator-elect?
Yes, indeed I do. William, first of all, could I say congratulations to Mr. McNee for being elected as moderator of the Presbyterian Church. And whenever I voted for him last night, I voted for him not because he was a man, but I voted for him because he was the best candidate for the job. And I think many people, with the resounding vote that he got, that was the reason why they voted for him.
Why do you think he's the best candidate?
Well, he served the church. I actually served two summer assistantships with
Mr. McNee.
Oh,
right, you know him personally. Yeah.
I know him personally, he'd be a family friend. And over the years, he's been a very faithful servant of the Presbyterian Church and has given service in Youth Centres Committee and so on, in lots of other ways. And he's been involved in lots of mission work in Malawi as well. And therefore, I believe he's given much and therefore is someone that we can support and give good leadership over the year ahead.
One of the other candidates, Richard, was the Reverend Liz Hughes. She's been up twice now as a candidate for moderator, has made it close, you might say, but hasn't quite got there. Would you be equally congratulatory today if she was elected moderator?
Well, I mean, women within our Presbyterian Church have been ministers now for a number of decades. And there certainly is a place for respect and a place to treat people with respect. And if she had have been elected as moderator, certainly I would have been, I wouldn't have turned my back on her, put it that way. I would have certainly been congratulating her on being elected as such.
OK, Roisin, what do you think?
Well, here I am, out of the house without my husband, so yay, well done me. I think when church attendances are falling, and you know any church should regard itself as a business which wants to attract new customers, then it's an interesting marketing tactic to say to half of your potential customer base, sorry, we'll take your money and your time, but don't expect to have anything to do with the running or the organisation of this church because you're a woman.
Know your place.
Yeah, well, essentially, yes. Yeah, and I find it interesting as well that, you know, you can use the Bible to justify, well, you can use it to justify just about anything. But, you know, if we're seriously going to use sort of, you know, the biblical basis of, you know, that men shall not be dominated by women, which is the sort of the traditional no argument here. You know, seriously, well, in that case, you know, you're still unclean 6 weeks after you have a baby and you should still wear, you know, cover your head when you go to church. You know, you cannot use the Bible to justify women not having a position of power within the church because it was written at a time when society was very male-dominated, and thankfully we have moved on from then.
Cheryl Maben, Richard Murray's argument, and the moderator, I guess, his argument as well, is that the biblical model is that men and women, though equal before God, have different roles in life and in society. Different designated roles, and it's wrong for a woman to be in leadership within the church, ordained leadership. That seems to be the basic model. What do you think of that argument?
Well, can I just start by congratulating Reverend McNee?
Shall we just take all the congratulations for granted?
I just want to say that it's very clear that I will support him as moderator, as I would expect him to support me if I was in a similar position. I think that for us as a church, when we engage in these kind of questions, sometimes we make a mistake of sanctifying our church institutions and thinking that the way the institutions are set up is the only possible Christian and biblical way for them to be. Presbyterians, of course, coming out of the Reformation, have already challenged the Catholic Church, and so we ought to be in a position to understand that our own structures are open to reinterpretation.
I guess
in
what I'm asking you is whether you think it's sexist. Do you think it's sexist of someone to say, you should know your place?
If someone were to say to me, because I'm a woman, I am.
Because you're a woman, you shouldn't be in leadership.
Oh, well, I mean, that's something that one lives with. I can judge it as sexist or not. It's neither here nor there. There's plenty of sexism throughout our society, and we live with it and are trying to combat it where we can.
Robert's on the line as well. Hi, Robert. What do you make of this?
Good afternoon.
Hey, Robert.
I congratulate the clergyman in Ballymoney for taking a biblical stand. In my opinion, women should keep silent in the church. They are Christ usurpers, and they shouldn't even be in the pulpit.
Well, that's a clear enough position. When you say that they should be silent in the church, you mean women should never speak any time in church?
I don't mean silent in the context of speaking. I mean from a doctrinal point of view, from a point of view of exercising what they describe in their church as the ruling elder. I happen to have personal acquaintance with Liz Hughes, and I left the church that I was in because we decided foolishly to give them money.
Okay. Richard Murray, do you agree with Robert?
In what sense, William?
What he just said.
That I don't understand what he said about leaving the church.
No, he said women should be silent in the church.
No, well, I don't think. Women, and for example, in my own congregation, Roisin seems to imply that the attitude towards women is that women should have their place and know their place. I mean, women are greatly involved in congregational life, as girls' brigade officers, boys' brigade officers, Sunday school teachers, PW leaders, and the value of women is very much upheld within our congregation. And in many, I mean, indeed, the PW is a very large organisation within Presbyterian Church in Ireland. And
but those are, if we can use the term, are subordinate roles, aren't they? They're not ordained roles, let's put it like that.
Well, they're not ordained roles, no, yeah. But no, they're not.
I think you're making a very, very important point there. Women are the backbone of many churches. Take any denomination and you'll find it's women that do a lot of the donkey work, a lot of the unpaid work, a lot of the non-glorious work. They put so much time and effort into it. Yet when it actually comes down to it, we are told you are simply not good enough to be in a position of power.
To be fair, if I might, I think it's not fair to say that it's because you're not good enough. I think that people choose to understand the scripture as saying
well,
that women have a different
that
role.
God doesn't allow
now,
you.
Now, personally, I don't share that view. I believe that when we read scripture, understanding how women and slaves and foreigners were marginalised and lepers and prostitutes and all the rest, that once we start to see how Jesus encounters and engages with real people, he is so subversive and countercultural that that sets us up with authority to challenge all sorts of things about the way our world is run.
Okay, Kirsten is with us as well. I'll come to you in a second, Richard. Go ahead, Kirsten.
Oh, I just wanted to say that the Presbyterian Church of Ireland has been ordaining women for several decades now, and yet the stats that I'm aware of is about 6%.
That's right,
of
yeah.
ordained ministers. So the question, one of the questions for me as a student of sociology of religion would be, why aren't there more women ordained if it's a possible track? And it goes back to what the point that was made earlier, that largely the role of women, while incredibly important within Presbyterian churches, especially in Northern Ireland, is largely the role in which they play in the home. I'm using air quotes, I apologize, you can't see my hand. So where they make tea and they teach Sunday school and they're allowed to go on mission, but they're not permitted to speak from a pulpit or take ordination-type classes or engage in theological education. It's not encouraged, especially for young girls, up through the church. And so the conversation of the question you asked on Twitter, will there ever be a female moderator of the Presbyterian Church, it's going to become increasingly difficult unless congregations switch how they speak about and to and engage with women in their individual congregations.
Okay, Kirsten, thank you very much. Richard, a question from you here on the text line as well. Do you, taking your view, Richard, permit women to teach men in any context in your church?
Not in our congregation, though. And I think Cheryl is hinting there at the reason why many men are uncomfortable with that.
So not even in a Bible study, women are not allowed to teach men?
No, it wouldn't happen. We don't have a small group Bible study situation, but the women generally in our congregation are involved in teaching. If they're involved in teaching, it's teaching children or women like themselves.
So women can teach children, they can teach other women, but they're not allowed to teach men in any context.
But it is a question, as Cheryl is hinting at there, about the authority of Scripture. If people are committed to Scripture and to what Scripture says, then what do they do with those passages of Scripture where Paul, for example, teaches the headship
of Christ over the church. Biblical basis for doing what you do.
Yes, and a female leader cannot mirror the headship of Christ over the church. So, you know, if you're committed to Scripture, what do you do with passages of Scripture? Like, because there are many women...
Obviously, there's an analogy that some people might have in their mind, you know, about what we're now hearing about Saudi Arabia and women not being allowed to drive, and the religious authorities who have that rule say that's because they find that in their holy book, in their scriptures. Mm. Can you see a difference?
Absolutely. I mean, there's just no comparison whatsoever, William. I mean, women within the Christian tradition are given, you know, Jesus had women who supported his ministry. He had 12 apostles who were men, but he had a group of women who were there as well and who gave out of their means and who served him in different ways, and they were part of the early church. And they were fundamental to the early church. And,
Cheryl's trying to get in here. Go ahead, Cheryl.
It sounds, Richard, as if you're relegating the role of women to a marginal or side role, whereas we know, in fact, that the gospel goes across the world because women are willing to pull up their roots and go and bring the love of Jesus Christ to all sorts of difficult places. And we have encountered, one of my formative transforming encounters would have been a woman who was a missionary in China and who was her students kept becoming Christian because she would explain.
But that seems to be
faith.
Okay. You can go up and be a missionary, but you can't be in leadership
at home.
And then
what was she supposed to do? So she was the church. There wasn't a church for those people to go to.
Dawn, hi.
Hi.
What's your take on this, Dawn?
My take, all I can say is thank goodness that the Presbyterian Church only elect their moderators for a year. And it's not like councils and government where they can go on for years and years.
The moderator has a term limit, yeah.
Yes, so thank goodness that the new one that's coming in now is only a year to do, and hopefully this time next year we'll be congratulating a female moderator.
All right, let's get a quick word from Norman as well. Hi, Norman.
Good afternoon, William.
Hi, Norman, what do you think of this?
Tell me what the Bible says. Suffer not a woman to teach, nor to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. And if you go on down the chapter, it says, if a man knew not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? A woman has no authority in the church of God, and the churches are losing their way. They're going against what the Bible teaches.
Okay, Norman.
If they're going against the Bible, they might as well throw the Bible in the bin.
Thanks a lot, Norman. Roshi, your response to that?
I think that it is inherently un-Christian to say 50% of the population are not allowed to have a position of power. If we're all equal in God's love, then we're all equal in God's love. Either we are or we aren't. What these guys
but
need to ask
different.
Themselves, what are you afraid
we are
of?
Different.
What frightens you about
we're equal
women?
But different.
Oh, please, how can you be equal but different? That's just nonsense.
Women can have children, men can't have children. We are equal, but we are different.
But
we are
that
different
makes,
fundamentally,
that makes absolutely
physically.
No sense.
We are different. It doesn't make sense. That's a biological lesson.
Oh, dear.
In Christ. There is no male or female,
William, I mean, there's a
slave
little,
or free.
We're out of time. That's agree? The music playing. It always starts playing when we start talking about theology on this programme. Thanks to Roisin and to Cheryl and Richard. Well, the debate will continue on Twitter at BBC Talkback.